like to ask you to pray with me as we open our hearts to the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you help me to say just what you'd have me to. I pray, Father, that your people would be strengthened in faith and encouraged. And Father, that we would bring glory and honor to your name in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On Sundays right now, we're in a series called Always Growing. And as I've done several times on Wednesday night lately, I want to share a message with you that, well, it just kind of goes in that series. It is growing in faith. You know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we should always growing in our relationship with the Lord, always growing in Christ-likeness. We should never become lethargic, never become stagnant in our faith, but always moving forward, growing as a Christian. Do you know it takes faith to grow spiritually? It takes faith for you to even be able to be close to God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:12 that we draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Because you know what? Without faith, we will all find ourselves unacceptable, unworthy of the one who is holy, holy, holy. Now, the only way that we can draw close to him, draw near to him, is with faith. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. Do you know your salvation is not over the day you get born again? That's a very, very shallow and limited understanding of salvation. No, we are saved every day. God is at work in us. He heals us. He sets us free. He makes us whole, body, soul, and spirit. You know, on the cross, Jesus took care of it all. But it's by faith that day by day, we still are seeing God work in our lives and still seeing God transform our lives. Because just in the same way that none of us could save ourselves or earn a ticket to heaven, none of us can transform ourselves into who He wants us to be. It has to be by faith. It can't be done by religion or effort or will, but it has to be faith and trust in God. He's the one that's doing that work in us. So if we are becoming more like Him, I'm telling you, it's something that's happening by faith. You know, it takes faith to be used of God. There are some people that might think they're doing something for God on their own, but I can assure you that anything that is eternal and life-giving, it's faith, because it's got to have God involved in it if it's going to be eternal and life-giving. And if we're going to obey God, it comes from faith. Without faith, we'll pull back. We'll end up drawing back in fear in one way or another and not reaching forward to all the things that God has for us. We should always be growing in faith. Surely the longer we serve the Lord, the more we should know that we can trust Him. But the sad truth is that some Christians seem to actually go backwards in their faith. Sometimes it's like, you know, when people just got born again, and I think this happens a lot in foreign countries where they haven't been taught any better. Okay, but even in our country, sometimes new converts, they don't know any better than just to believe God for miracles. And the sad thing is that sometimes they learn better than that. And whether it's from experience or false teaching, what's religiously correct, by the way, I think what's politically correct is not near as dangerous as what's religiously correct. The same thing was true in Jesus' day. The bigger problem was the Pharisees, not the Roman Empire. And I'm telling you, it's the same in our day. The religion of the day and what's religiously correct binds people up and hinders people way more than what's politically correct. Well, I may have lost some of you there, so we'll get back to it, all right? But I'm just telling you, it ought to be that as we serve the Lord, we learn day by day that we can believe Him and trust Him more and take Him at His word. Well, there's an old song about that, isn't there? Well, you know, it's one of the advantages to being the pastor and having the microphone. You can sing if you want to, whether anybody likes it or not. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. You can help me. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I like this verse even better. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. You know what that is, trust Him more? That's a growing faith. And seeing faith ought to always be growing. How sad that some Christians seem to get old in their faith, where they're not ever really stepping out and believing God anymore, not really expecting God to do the miraculous or anything unusual. They're just kind of living out their days in complacency in the comfort zone. I'm telling you, God wants us to be growing in our faith. It's a wonderful thing to grow in your faith, just to keep getting more and more, not comfortable in the comfort zone, but comfortable in trusting God, where it doesn't mess you up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some people get all out of whack when they got to trust God. Oh, no. Well, that ought to be the most comfortable place in the world, is when you're using your faith, because I can assure you that God is more trustworthy than your job, than the stock market, than the government. I thought I might get a couple amens on that one. I'm just telling you, He's the one you can count on. So when you're using your faith, we, the people of God, we ought to be pretty comfortable in there. Amen. Trusting Him. You know, some people have the attitude, another one of those religiously correct attitudes, that faith is just to accept things as they are. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is a religious America concept. Oh, well, you know, I have faith. I just trust God that, you know, whatever will be, that if this is what's happening, it must be God's will. Then why did Jesus tell us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I'm telling you, we're supposed to believe God for greater things, for better things. We're supposed to believe God for people to be saved and people to be... Here's what the Bible says about faith. Nowhere does it say anything about, well, just accept things as they are. No, it says that faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's not accepting things as they are. It is the substance of things hoped for. Not what is, but what you hope for. The substance of things hoped for. And the evidence, not of what you already have, but of things not seen. That's faith. So it's real important tonight. We're going to talk about growing faith, but I want to kind of lay a foundation because we got to get rid of some of those false teachings and misconceptions that mess people up and hinder people's faith. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, well, just stay like you are. No, he said, you would say to this mountain, move, and it would go from here to there, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, that's what Jesus says about faith. He says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it would move, and nothing. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. Never said anything about, well, just accept things as they are. False teaching. Keeping people from growing in their faith. Undermining so many believers. They say, oh, why does God do miracles over in India? Why do we keep hearing about miracles in Africa and miracles in South America? And why didn't God do that here? Well, I guess, you know, because, you know, we're so spiritual, we don't need miracles. What a bunch of rot. Religious America needs to see that our God is real. That he is a miracle-working God who saves and heals and sets free. He never taught that, accept things as they are. It's just a religious doctrine of devils designed to keep us from having real faith. It displeases the Lord when we don't believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, that's not the end of the verse, is it? He says you must not only believe that God exists, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And there it is again, that when we have real faith, we believe that God answers prayer. We believe that God still moves. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But faith pleases him. You know what? If something pleases my wife, something makes her happy, I want to do that more. So I don't get in the doghouse. No, that's not really why. Because I love her. And I want to make her happy. I want to please her. And I'm telling you that if faith pleases God, without faith, you can't please him. See, when we're not walking in faith, we're not pleasing God. He doesn't like that. So if faith pleases him, then I want to grow in faith. I want to please him more. I realize this is not religiously correct to say this way, but God demands us to have faith. In fact, did you know it's not religiously correct to say God demands anything? Well, he does. He commands and he demands. He is our Lord. That's not another just name for God. It is a title that means master, the one who is over us. It's amazing to me in this prideful, arrogant generation that people don't want to serve Jesus if he's going to be Lord. They want to be Lord of their own life. How's that working for you, right? No. He is our Lord. And let me tell you, he demands faith. It's Mark 11:22. He doesn't say, hey, you guys, it would be cool if y'all would have faith in God. No, he says it very straightforward. He says, have faith in God. Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to each man the measure of faith. Everybody. Here's another false teaching. Only some people are given faith, and others, they just don't have it. Where is that in the Bible? I mean, I know some people have faith and some don't, but it's because they choose to believe or they choose not to believe. But the Bible says that the measure of faith has been given to every man. Now, they may put their faith in themselves. They may put their faith in money. They may put their faith in other people or the systems of the world. But I'm just telling you, everybody has a measure of faith. There were people that Jesus commended for their great faith. Why would he commend somebody if he just gave it to them? And why would he rebuke those who had little faith if it wasn't their fault they had little faith? It's ridiculous. And here's my point. You see, all of that garbage will undermine your faith and keep you from having a growing faith. In fact, you can be a Christian and say, oh, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years and have zero faith. Other than, well, I'm going to go to heaven someday. Listen, that's not all God has for you. No, there are things that God wants to do in your life and through your life. And I'm telling you, he is a God who works through faith. And if we're not growing in our faith, we're not going to see all that God has for us. But it is a choice. One time he asked the disciples, he says, how is it that you have no faith? I just gotta keep going here, because I'm telling you, there's a real dangerous false teaching that's so prevalent in our culture right now in religious America. Jesus says, how is it that you have no faith? What is this, some kind of a weird, mean game? Because according to that teaching, they can't help it that they don't have faith. So what kind of weird game is God playing with these people, rebuking them, saying, how is it that you have no faith? I mean, if they would have known that teaching of the day, they would have just said, well, you know, Lord, we can't help it because you're the one that gives it to us or doesn't give it to us. And obviously you didn't give it to us, so it's not our fault that we don't have any faith. No, Jesus is challenging them to believe. He says, how is it you have no faith? Another time he says to the disciples, where is your faith? You see, he's calling them to make that choice to believe. Make up your mind that you're going to believe. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. False teaching. Oh, it just comes over you. And either you have it or you don't. You have the measure of faith. You have that. And you choose whether or not you're going to believe God's word, whether or not you're going to take him at his word and trust him, or if you're going to put your trust in other things. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about many of the great men and women of the scripture, great men and women of God. And I call them the heroes of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, every single one of them, it says this about them, by faith. Whatever they did and whatever great miracles and great things that happened in their life and God did in their life and through their life, every bit of it happened, it says, by faith. In Hebrews 11:2, it says, by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. You know how you get a good testimony? By faith. It's by living by faith. It's believing God. It's expecting God to do miracles, just like he did for Moses and Abraham and Rahab. Did you know Rahab the harlot's listed there in Hebrews chapter 11? Because she did something by faith. But I'm just telling you, you get a good testimony with God by faith. In order to grow in faith, you gotta know that you can. I want you to see once more that faith is a choice. John 20, 26 through 29. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." I mean, he's really helping Thomas out here. You know, Thomas doesn't just have to believe without seeing. Jesus has given him the opportunity to see, to touch, to know for certain. But he still tells him, he says, don't be unbelieving, but believing. It's a choice. Well, Thomas finally made the right one. But Jesus said this, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And you know what? I want to remind you again that Hebrews 11, 1 says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's when we take God at his word and we stand on his word no matter how it looks, then we're blessed. Next, Jesus said that some have no faith. Some have little faith. And some have great faith. So, you need to understand that. You can have little faith, no faith, great faith. You can have weak faith or strong faith. Well, here's that one. It's Romans 4, 19 and 20. It's Abraham. It says, "And not being weak in faith." There's a lot of people who are weak in faith. And if they would have been Abraham, there's no way that they would have believed God for a child at 100 years of age when they had never had a child. Listen to this. "Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb." And by the way, I just want to point out to you, he didn't consider. Have you considered something lately? You know, when you consider something, here's another word, you ponder it. You think about it. You know, you say, "Well, I'm considering buying a new house." You're looking at the options and you're thinking about it. Abraham didn't think about it. He didn't dwell on the fact that he was 100 years old, that his body was as good as dead, and that Sarah's womb was dead. He didn't consider that. No, instead, he considered the promise of God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Another translation says, strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, some people can't believe God to heal a headache. Some people can't believe God for $20. They have little or no faith. Other people can believe God to heal cancer. They can believe God for $100,000 if they need it for the work of the Lord. Oh, I'm just telling you, we can have little, no, or great faith. Most of the time, when people have great faith, their faith grew to that level. Now, I want to say most of the time, because I read in the scripture that there were times when somebody heard that Jesus was passing by and that Jesus was healing people, and that was all it took for them. They said, oh, well, if he's healed them, he can heal me. And they had great faith. But most of the time, and I think part of this has to do with this religious culture that we live in, it's hard for us sometimes to believe God unless we just grow a step at a time in our faith. It's hard to believe God for great things when we can't even believe God in our day-to-day circumstances and the little things. But I want you to see that you can grow. Does the Bible actually say, you know, Pastor, we don't want one of these messages where it's just somebody's opinion. How about if we just stick with the scripture? Does the Bible actually say that your faith can grow? Or is it just is what it is? 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Well, here's some people who had growing faith. And Paul says, we thank God always for you, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. If their faith grew a whole lot, so can ours. I want to be one of those ones that Jesus commends for their faith. I want him to be able to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I want him to be able to say to me, not just in the sweet by and by, but in the here and now, great is your faith. He said it to others. I want to get to that place. I want my faith to grow where I have great faith, that I can really trust God and believe him for great things. So how do we grow our faith? Spent all that time to get here, all right? But we needed that foundation, because I'm telling you, the devil works overtime at trying to build a false teaching and keep people from really believing God for anything. So how do you grow your faith? Well, the first and foremost thing is that we grow our faith with the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to receive the Word of God to build your faith. Now, I know that some people take the Word of God and they twist it all up to undermine faith and keep people from believing. But I'm telling you, when you truly receive the Word of God, it will strengthen your faith. It'll grow your faith. Your faith has to be based on the Word of God. When Hebrews 11 talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it says that we understand that by the word of the Lord, the worlds were framed. And see, here's what I want to say to you. It's the word of the Lord is where our faith is. Faith is not just positive thinking. That's fantasy faith. Faith is not you just coming up with some ideas about something. No, our faith has to be based and founded on the word of the Lord. If God said it, we can believe it. And that's what builds our faith. That's what grows our faith. If you want your faith to grow, I'm telling you, you got to feed yourself the word of God. You know, hearing God say it one time, well, that really ought to be enough for us. I mean, we want our kids to operate that way, don't we? We say it one time, that ought to be enough, right? How much more should it be enough when the Lord says it one time? But you know what? I think because we live in this culture where we are surrounded by 1,000 voices and all this negative stuff all the time. Listen, it helps us if we just hear it over and over and over. The world can call that brainwashing. Well, it is brainwashing. You need your brainwash from all the filth and garbage and unbelief in this world. And the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5 that it will wash you. He's preparing for himself a glorious church by the washing of the water of the Word. Yes, it will brainwash you. You need your brainwashed. F.F. Bosworth said that most people eat three hot meals a day and feed the inward man one cold snack a week. And they wonder why they're weak in faith. One thing's for sure. You can't believe if you don't know God's word. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And I want to tell you, people that have not heard the promises and the truth from God's word about healing can't believe for healing. People that have never heard the promises, the truth of Scripture. Listen, I'm not talking about men's opinion. I'm talking about the truths of Scripture. People that haven't heard the truths of Scripture can't really believe God to be their provider. Their trust is in the government. Their trust is in their job. Their trust is in their hard work ethic and blah, 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 but not in God. We choose. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I teach and preach. A man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. That's what the Scripture says. You're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. But I'm just telling you, our faith ought to be in God. We ought to be standing on His promises. But people that don't even, listen, you can't stand on a promise you don't know. And it doesn't happen by accident. I know you've heard this story. If you've been here at the church very long, you've heard this story. But my wife is sitting in the doctor's office. I was there with her. She's going in to have a test. And a few days later, we get the call that they said from that test that she had breast cancer. But when she was waiting in the doctor's office, she's sitting there reading her Bible. She's not reading some silly magazine left in the doctor's office there. She's reading her Bible, and she reads, "You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." And when the negative report came, she immediately thought, "I'm not going to die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." Now, I want to tell you something. What if she didn't know that promise? She wouldn't have been able to believe God and stand on that word. And she didn't just stand on it for a day. She stood on it for several years. Great faith. But it all started because she knew that promise. And I'm telling you, you need to build your faith. You need to be growing your faith by feeding your inward man the living word of God. Oh, it's powerful how it can cause faith to rise in your heart if you'll believe it, if you'll just receive it. Amen. You know, sometimes, I said this, but sometimes people heard Jesus was healing people and they just believed. And you know what? That still happens today. But the truth is a lot of the time the teachings of men tear people's faith down. Sometimes it is religious traditions that weaken people's faith. Mark 7:13 says, Jesus said this. He said, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Now in this passage, Jesus was talking about people not obeying God's word in regard to taking care of their aging parents, but you'll notice there he says, and many such things you do. But the principle here is that they nullify the word of God. It's of no effect to them because of their traditions. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that can't really receive God's word and believe because they're hanging on to old traditions and garbage that they've been taught by men. I'm trying to help you. Man, you just go to the Bible, lay all that down, and go to the Bible. If you want to grow in your faith, you need to stay in the Word, and you need to listen to people that preach faith, not doubt. Romans 10:8, Paul said, we preach the Word of faith, not the Word of doubt. There's, There's plenty of doubt in this world. You can get it on every street corner. What we need to have is faith, and we need to be around people that talk faith. You need to even speak it yourself. You know what? It's powerful when you hear out of your mouth the promise of God's word. You know, remember this. Jesus said, if you believe, if you speak to the mountain. See, you need to speak the word of God. You need to be speaking faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. See, when you get a hold of the word of God that applies to your situation, you need to believe it in your heart and speak it out of your mouth. And Jesus said, nothing will be impossible to you. The written word of God will always build your faith if you'll receive it. But one of the things we see so powerfully in the scripture is that God speaks to people personally. And when he speaks to people personally, and you believe what he said, you're going to see a miracle. It's like when he spoke to Noah about a flood that was coming and told him how to build a boat. And Noah did it. Took somewhere between 80 and 100 years. In faith, he built that boat to the saving of his family. But he has a good testimony. But I'm just telling you, you need to be speaking God's word. You need to be believing God's word. And you also need to be listening for God's voice to speak to you. Because if he speaks to you about something, you need to obey. Next, the key to growing faith is that we have to act on our faith. James 2:26 says that faith without works is dead. Faith is dead until it's acted on. See, you don't really believe if you're not willing to step out in faith and act. Our faith is like a spiritual muscle. If you don't ever use it, you lose it. And a lot of people never use their faith unless they are backed in a corner and forced to. They have nowhere else to turn, no other help. They've already been to the doctors. They've already tried everything else. And, well, I guess we're going to have to believe God. And here's the sad thing, though. Because they never, ever believe God, they never, ever use their faith, they don't have much faith. And their attitude is kind of like, well, you know, we're trying to believe God. We're going to have, you know, we're trusting God, sort of. I mean, you know, it's like, where else can we go? But it ought to be like this, that we use our faith every day. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. That means we're supposed to live that way. The just shall live by faith. Faith isn't just when you're backed in a corner. Faith is every day. We need to be expecting, believing God to do great things. That's the way Jesus lived. Growing in faith. You got to use it. You got to get out of your comfort zone. See, so many people, they just play it safe. And I'm not advocating being foolish. I'm saying that having faith in God is never foolish. And we need to be willing to step out in faith. I only have 1 minute. Y'all give me three. Because I want to give you three examples from Scripture to wrap this up. I'm going to close three times, all right? Abraham, the father of faith. The Bible tells us that God spoke to him and told him to go out to a place and he would show him when he got there. Abraham, in faith, went out, not knowing where he was going. How did this man, Abraham, become the father of faith? How did he become the friend of God? I'm telling you, God cares whether or not you have faith. Faith pleases him. Abraham goes out, not knowing where he's going. Then God speaks to him about giving him an heir.
And the heir doesn't come for 10 years, 20 years. It's not until he's 100 years old that this promised son is finally born, because Abraham didn't consider the deadness of his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he believed God. He didn't waver at the promise of God, great man of faith. And then Abraham, his faith grew to another whole level when God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham raised the knife and was ready to sacrifice him to the Lord. You know why? Because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. You see, his faith, he wasn't perfect, but he used his faith again and again. He believed God, and he just kept growing to another level and another level. Abraham looked back at the miracles that God had already done, and it was no problem for him to believe that God would raise Isaac from the dead. But when God said, how did it start? I want you to leave your family, your country, your work, everything you've ever known, except for your wife, Sarah. And old nephew Lot tagged along, didn't he? And I'm going to take you somewhere you don't even know. Most people never make that first step. You got to grow in faith, and the way it starts is that first step. You got to step out. How about David? David, the king, greatest king in the scripture other than Jesus. David, the giant killer. How do you get to be a giant killer? Wow, that's cool. I want to be like David. He didn't start as the giant killer. He was the shepherd who killed a lion and a bear. And when he faced Goliath, he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't see in Scripture where God specifically told David to go. And any of those men, Saul should have done it. One of David's brothers should have done it. Somebody should have stepped up and said, I'll face him. I believe God will help me. David was that man. And I'm telling you, you got to decide. I'm going to be that man. I'm going to be that woman to step out in faith. I'm not going to be afraid to trust God. But it's action to your faith. You got to be willing to step out. One more. Peter. The disciples are in a boat out on the water. You know the story. Jesus comes to them in the night, and they see him, but they think he's a ghost, and they're so terrified, they yell out, they scream out like little girls. They're so scared, they yell out. Ah! Jesus says, don't be afraid. One of the most common commands of the whole of Scripture, do not fear. God tells us over and over and over, do not fear. Remember, fear is the antithesis to faith. He says, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter has the audacity to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Now, some people never bothered to say, God, are you in this? It never hurts to ask the Lord, is this your will, Lord? And that, this, you know, go with your peace. If, you know, let God speak to your heart, but bother to ask when you want to get out of the boat. But here's what I want to really say to you. Everybody else stayed in the boat, and I'm telling you, it's still that way today. There's so few that ever get out of the boat. It doesn't take any faith to stay in the boat and be afraid. And some people might be critical of Peter because he got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, but then he considered the wind and the waves. He started looking at the wind and the waves and he began to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? He said, save me, Lord. And Jesus saved him. And I want to tell you something. Jesus will save you if you falter, but be willing to be the one to say, Lord, I'll get out of the boat. I'm willing to step out in faith. I just, you know, let God the Holy Spirit apply this in your heart. But for some of you, listen, you might need to go back to school. Maybe God does want you to look at a new career. Maybe God wants you to get involved in children's ministry. Oh no, that would really be getting out of the boat. I'm just telling you, let God speak to you. Let him draw you, but be willing to get out of your comfort zone in faith, trusting God. As long as you stay in the boat in your same old routine, you're not growing. Use your faith. Get it growing. Stand with me. I love you. I hope I helped you a little bit tonight. And my challenge to you, grow in faith. Grow in faith.